Activity here because you think we're going to pass out the capital budget. We're not. It's still lying on the table for people to look at and see if there are any corrections. The governor's office will be giving testimony on that capital budget tomorrow morning. So we, at that time, will take some action on it, I hope. You have before you Senate Bill number 351. There are several versions for a CS. Senator Fisher.
Madam Chairman, can't talk. The version that was just passed out would be all right. I think it does do it in a positive way. It's not a negative as far as using the word not. And if it's okay, I'd like to have this for adoption, be considered for adoption.
Okay. The CS, this one that looks like this, it's not the version 2 with the green mark on it. It's a plain 8x11 piece of paper. Was drafted just a few minutes ago by the department. Steve Hole did that drafting and added the sentence which would put the whole amendment into the positive and not use the word not. What the amendment does is it allows the bond issues that were approved by the voters last summer to have those areas, those municipalities and communities keep the interest on those bonds, but as of July 1st of this year, any new bonds sold, the interest would clearly go to the state and not rolled into the communities. Senator Fisher?
Yes, the interest is still to be used as part of the bond indebtedness, though. It's not used for any other purpose,
just to pay off the bonds or to pay the schools.
Local share.
Right. Senator Petula?
Thank you very much. That is our understanding. Is it needed in legislative intent also, or will this suffice? Will the law in this section do exactly as Senator Fisher stated? Now, we know what we want, but will we get it?
Correct, and you're right to ask that question. Mr. Hole, Department of Education, please.
Steve Hole from the Department of Education. My understanding of this amendment is that it would permit the department to implement regulations which are the subject of the legislation after, or with respect to bond issues authorized after July 1 of 1986, thereby exempting the ones authorized last fall from those interest provisions.
Yes, I understand that, if I might pursue it.
Please.
What we want absolutely clear is the intent of the committee, as restated by Senator Fisher, and apparently this does not state that, so it probably should be intent, that the funds go directly into this program, not be used by the borough for anything else.
That's correct.
The interest, even up until the time of discontinuation of using interest for these purposes.
The bill passed last year, Madam Chairman, would have that effect, Senator.
All right.
Okay, so it's very clear in the bill that they can't use it for garbage collection or parks and rec or anything else.
That's correct.
Senator Eliason.
Madam Chair, what's going to happen after July 1st, 1986?
If I may, Madam Chair, then the regulations recently adopted by the department requiring that the interest provisions reduce the overall project cost would affect all bond issues authorized after July 1 of 86.
Would that put us back at a true 80-20, or would that be a lesser amount on either side?
It would be an absolute 80-20.
Okay. Are there any more questions on this? The chair will entertain a motion.
I'd move it out with individual recommendation.
Okay, now let's make it very clear for Senate Secretary.
Could we adopt the CS first, sir? Yes, I move the committee steps to be adopted.
The CS on the 8x10 sheet for committee substitute for Senate Bill 351 Finance has been moved for adoption. Any objections? Okay, Senator Petula.
I would move the committee substitute on the, as stated in the 8x10 sheet by the chairperson. Be put out with individual recommendation.
So moved. Any objections? Done. 351 version 3 moved out with individual recommendations. I have to go to another committee. I have three bills up to testify to. I'd like to turn the chair over to Senator Sackett to conduct the capital projects hearings for Department of Labor, Public Safety, and DOTPA.
Okay, we'll take a two-minute ad ease to get. I find my books. We'll take Department of Labor. Proceed.
Mr. Chairman, Jim Robinson, Commissioner of Labor, and I have with me today Nico Buss. And I guess we're just here to talk about these capital projects.
Go ahead.
These are four projects being asked. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman, are we here for the 1987, or are we here to talk
You're
about...
Here. You can be here for anything, as far as I'm concerned.
Senator Sackett, what page, excuse me? I have the Department of Labor. What page is this on, roughly? Or is there a page?
I know there isn't a page.
Thank
it's
you.
About...
Third of the way in.
Yeah. Why don't we go for 87, okay?
Okay, we have four capital projects, Mr. Chairman. One general fund, which is toxic waste monitoring equipment. That's to be used to when we go into a site that we think is a hazard, and we just need that equipment to protect our employee.
I'm sorry, hold on a second. I don't seem to have a copy of that. None of us do. Where are they?
Mr. Chairman?
What have they been doing? I just walked
I think what we have been doing
is
just
past
looking at the status of the
of existing, and not the new?
For.
And not the new?
And the new also. I don't have a new item.
Oh, we don't have a new.
We don't have a new.
No,
we have status of the other projects.
Jack? Well, okay, when you were looking through this, were you looking at FY87 also?
Yes, sir.
Okay, where'd you get a copy of FY87?
What normally we have done is the department gives an overview of those projects.
We don't have a copy of those. Do you have anything to pass out?
We have some computer pages. We need some Xeroxes.
Okay, the other one, we start that.
Okay, or we normally just go down the list and then.
We're going to do a pass budget.
Yeah, pass budget.
Okay. Well, we're getting copies for you. FY87 request. Let's start with the past years. Go ahead, Commissioner.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I think I'll just let Nico go ahead and tell you where we're at with them, because most of them we've completed, and it's my understanding you want to find out if there's any money left out there, so Nico, why don't you just go ahead?
Yeah, we, as of this fiscal year, we had... about eight capital projects left, and most of those have been completed right now. There's two capital projects that are not completed. One is for a purchase of a Fairbanks telephone system, and the other one is for renovations of our Dillingham office. And those are the only two that are still outstanding. And for reference on this CP3 sheet, on the first page, it's the one from the bottom, rural office renovation for $90,000. We anticipate to have $47,000 for Dillingham to complete the project there. And for the Fairbanks telephone system, it's the one right above it. That's general funds. And there's about $64,000 to go there.
Any questions? Okay, in chapter 24... Purchase telephone system, Anchorage, Fairbanks. You said you have $64,000 left over there?
Yeah, we bought the Anchorage system, but because of the uncertainty about the Fairbanks office building, we held off on that until there was a firm decision on what was happening in the Fairbanks regional office building.
And what's the one right under the balance was how much?
The balance for the telephone system is $64,000, and the balance for the rural office renovation is $47,000.
Is what? I'm sorry.
$47,000 for a rural office renovation and $64,000 for the telephone system.
Senator Sackett.
Mm-hmm.
That balance of $42,000 for rural office renovation, are you completed with all that renovation?
No, we still have some ramps to build, some painting to be done, and some test rooms to finish. So.
One other thing. Although it says Barrow, Bethel, Cosby, and I'm sure you can find the expenditures insufficient to do even those, but can you transfer it to any other rural area if you don't?
Initially, the Barrow, Bethel, and Cosby were requested. Barrow is completed. Bethel and Cosby have been done too, so.
Thank you.
So you what, expanded?
Excuse me?
Where were you working on this? Did you say Dillingham?
Right. Yes, Dillingham, and in the initial request that was listed as well. As you can see on the top, the first one, it lists Barrow and Glen Ellen as well. It was two or three separate capital projects for rural office renovation, and the titles that were listed in the chapter refer to certain locations, but it was more locations within the intent. So the barrel is completed, and right now we're the only one that we are working on. That is, any work left is on Dillingham.
Is Dillingham, which was the amendment to begin with. Okay, and that was 47 or 42?
47,000.
Gotcha. Okay, anything else? Your request for FY 87?
Yeah, there's four capital projects. There's one general fund request for some toxic waste equipment to go out and buy some testing equipment, some protective gear for the people that actually do the testing for $50,000. There's a computer upgrade for $805,000 out of our training and building fund. And there's two capital projects for data processing related gear to be paid for by federal funds.
Any questions? Senator?
Mr. Chairman, which are federal funds, which are general funds, sir?
Okay. The the toxic waste is the only request for general fund for $50,000.
Okay.
The federal funds are the data processing equipment, and the CPU upgrade is to be funded out of the training and building fund.
Thank you.
What the hell is the training and building fund? Go ahead.
Thank you. $50,000. Explain the toxic waste one, please, again.
Okay, the toxic waste is to buy equipment such as combustible gas and oxygen indicators and a whole bunch of technical things for our OSHA and some...
Is that sufficient funding to do that? You're under attack every place. You don't have enough staff. You don't have enough money. And still you have all these responsibilities that are going to add you up in the headlines for not accomplishing. This is one place that is beginning to be a nightmare in several areas of the state, and we're getting, apparently, the abuse, for the lack of a stronger term, of a whole lot of people. This is, again, it's a nightmare, and it's wrong, and the department is supposed to do these things. Is that sufficient money to do the laboratory upgrade that you need so that you can finally accomplish some of those things that I know the commissioner wants to but just hasn't been privileged to?
We think that that's enough, Senator.
Thank you. When you come to testify before the subcommittee on staff, I hope you'll tell them some of our problems out there. I know they're in my Senate district, so I'm very, very concerned about it beyond being just a state problem. I think it's a true nightmare out there. Thank you.
What's the source of funding for your training and building fund?
The money that we receive for the training and building fund are penalty and interest received on our unemployment insurance tax collections. For those people that are late, they pay penalty and interest. That money by statute goes into the training and building fund, and then it's to be appropriated for Department of Labor Operations.
I haven't seen the legislation creating that fund, but is purchase of a computer for the entire department a legitimate use of those funds?
We feel that it is because
it's
writing the unemployment insurance check, so there's a direct benefit for those people that paid into the fund. So,
Did you get an AG opinion on that? Or do you have any opinion on that you can use those monies for that purpose?
I think the statute is... wording it such that it is for departmental operations. For those operations that we don't specifically have federal funds, we could use the training building fund for as well. So,
okay, we'll check it out.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
A follow up on that. Do you have sort of a balance sheet on that fund?
We right now have roughly $160,000 left in the fund, and the fund generates enough revenue for the appropriations that we have for 1986 on the books. So for 1987, this capital project for $805,000 is more than the fund's revenue will carry, and so it's a 3-year payoff on the financing for the computer, so we'll break the $805,000 into payments that the fund will be able to carry. And if the fund's revenue are not sufficient, then we have to go for refinancing with our vendor.
Any further questions, Department of Labor? Thank you very much.
Department of Public Safety? Do you have a pass out for your request for 87, or do you have any?
No, we have. We really didn't come prepared to discuss 87 with any pass out material.
That's fine. Let's go to past years then.
Okay, in past years, last year, we went through the appropriated capital funds, and there was $137,000 reappropriated, given back to the committee from funds that or projects that were completed.
How much?
$137,000 from past capital projects, which was not used money. Do you have the CP3s, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Should we just go through those?
Go ahead. Start at the beginning.
Okay, the vehicle vessel seizure funds, that money will be closed out by June of 86, $350.
The only one I have a question is third from the bottom.
Okay.
Kodiak, you've expended $14,005.
Yes. Explanation on that now, the vehicle seizure costs, or vessel seizure costs, I should say, is so hard to estimate within the budget. That's why we have that capital money, and it usually is brought forward. These are ships that are seized for fishing violations.
Yeah, but this is back in 84. We're talking about 87 now. That's 3 years ago.
Yes.
And you used only $14,000 out of $160,000.
We had a real light year. We've had a couple of real light years on that. I'm not recommending, you know, that money be reappropriated because we just have to come in with a new capital anyway. I'm recommending carry forward on that.
Okay, any questions on the first page?
What do you mean by a light year?
See, what we were doing, we were expending out of the Chapter 82, Session Laws of 81, the top one up there. You understand? We've been depleting that money, and we have no idea how many ships we're going to seize and have to hold. This has always been a troublesome thing within Fish and Wildlife Protection, especially on the Kodiak area, where we grab the big ships and we have to pay to keep them in storage.
Well, does this indicate a slowdown in activity, so the money you used last year?
No, I wouldn't think so. It's just that we didn't seize the ships and hold them as long. Some of them we hold for as many as 1 and 2 years. We haven't had that situation, Senator.
Well, you need some contingency money.
When you hold them that long, and there's a resolution made in the course, aren't we reimbursed for the cost of holding them?
Yes, we are. But that money goes to the general fund. There has been some sizable civil fines to release those ships. That's all done in the Attorney General's office in the Civil Division.
But theoretically, there should be a balance in that account, continuous balance.
Yes, this is what we're talking about right here. See? But the fines and the forfeitures we do get go into the general fund. That's why we have to have the appropriations.
Bring it back in.
That is true.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
The general fund is the beneficiary. Of course, there's tremendous cost tied up in this, but once you need a pool or a fund of money to continue the service, if we lapse this funds and you had another emergency, which you will have predictably, once you need some of these funds?
Yes, I'm recommending these monies not be reappropriated,
okay,
but just be carried forward.
Wrong. I thought I heard you say you recommend they be reappropriated. Excuse me.
Okay, sir.
Okay, next page starts with an aircraft hangar. Then you have a reappropriation request, intent to replace an aircraft, or change it to an aircraft replacement?
Yes, sir.
What's the reason for that?
The aircraft engine replacement project was a project approved by the legislature to put turbo engines in a Grumman Goose for long-range patrols out in the Aleutian fisheries, primarily out there, and for safety reasons also. Two places in North America do this type of work, one in Texas and one in British Columbia. The lowest bid we got for the engine replacement was $700,000+ in an 18-month conversion time. We didn't have the money, so we're coming back now and saying, well, we're going to accomplish the same purpose within the appropriation, within the $525,300, by not converting the airplane, just go ahead and purchase an aircraft for that purpose, the fisheries patrol. That's in the supplemental bill, I think, or reappropriation bill right now.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Well, you get the kind of aircraft that you really need to feel comfortable with doing this service with this funding. Let's not be I know you have to present a very conservative picture, but at least we should know and should be on our heads if we don't appropriate sufficient to do the job you want. So, but we won't be if we don't know again. So, well, for the money you're going to have put together in the appropriation, will you get the aircraft that you need if you're comfortable with?
Senator Catula, yes. I'll answer yes on that.
Thank you.
Okay, just one question. Major vessel repair statewide, $94,600. You need an additional $100,000?
Yes, that's in the FOI 87. This is an ongoing program with the four larger ships.
Why can't we just reappropriate some of the vessel's seizure costs and put it over there?
Well, there are two different projects, you understand.
I know.
One is to bring the big ships down into the shipyards and do the necessary work on them, and the other one is a vessel seizure fund where we impound
them. I'm just trying to save money.
Yeah. It would be awful risky, Senator. You know, if we did seize the ships, we have to pay the storage fee, so we'd be coming back for a supplement anyway. So it's just six one way, half one the other there.
Any further questions on that particular page? Okay, page 1 of 1, CP3, starting with Fire Information Network statewide. Oh, what's the status of that here?
Purchase orders have all been submitted for the hardware right now, and that installation has taken place. Those monies will be consumed by 686.
Next page. Questions there? Okay, starting on page 1 of 3, CP3, at the top, the VHF, Glen Helen.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, give the fingerprint system. Give a status of that.
Yes, thinking that question would come up, I took Deputy Commissioner Vaden to this meeting. Mr. Senator, Deputy Commissioner Vaden.
We've had the money for, let's see, going on 7 years.
Yes. The Commissioner will explain that, sir.
Isn't there a deadline for even capital projects?
The my name is James Vaden, Mr. Chairman. The initial fingerprint system has been purchased and installed. Initially, because we did not know what the full expenditure was going to be, we requested optical disk storage for 100,000 10 print cards. Our magnetic disk storage for minutia will hold 200,000 cards. We're already approaching the 100,000 card level within the database. We have requested NEC, and they have installed additional optical disks as well as additional software, which has been developed as a result of projects in California and in Chicago. In addition, we had a need to be able to transmit this data from remote locations in order to provide proper response to our outlying correctional facilities.
Let me interrupt you, Jim.
Sure.
Okay, you started with $2.7 million, and my apologies, that was 3 years ago. You still have $700,000 sitting there.
That's correct.
What do you plan to do with the $700,000?
Okay, the $50,000. The $50,000 is basically been encumbered. The equipment has been delivered by NEC. They've just failed to provide us with a bill. An additional $700,000 is anticipated being expended, and obviously we don't have that much money, but NEC has developed remote entry terminals that they feel will run between $30,000 and $50,000, which will allow us to transmit this data from the jails into a centralized location. NEC at the present time is unable to give us a firm price. They're the only company at the present time that produces anything that's compatible with the system that will work. We had several companies go out throughout the United States to see if we could find something that would enable us to transmit the data contained on a fingerprint card from a remote location into Anchorage. We looked at facsimile machines up to $50,000, and the only device that we were able to come up with is a device produced out of White Plains, New York. It will work, but we have to have dedicated lines, so the ongoing cost of that operation would be too expensive. I can't tell you when NEC will be able to give us a firm price on the remote entry equipment, except that I would hope that it would be by this summer because they are installing this equipment as a result of a bid contract with Sacramento, California.
Any questions?
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Okay, next page, 2 of 3. 1984, you had a Dalton housing, $800,000. You used $562,000 to date. What's the balance?
$18,000, sir. There's $18,000 there. That project is in progress right now, and the construction, it's in the construction phase right now.
Okay, to date, there's $18,000 left?
Yeah, $18,000. And on the next one down, Coalfoot Hangar, there's $600 balance in that one. Both are in the progress stage right now.
Okay, any further questions?
I have one
page?
Quick question.
Go ahead.
Where is the Dalton housing located?
Coalfoot, sir.
At Coalfoot. The foundations are all right for it. We hear some terrible problems with DOT facilities north of there.
Yes. As far as I know, everything is progressing fine on both the hangar, and the house is going to, that bid is going to be let very shortly.
What kind of a house do you get for $800,000?
The money has been, do you want to explain that, Deputy McCranith or Director McCranith?
Yeah. We are building the hangar and the house close by. We initially intended to go for a duplex, but money is not sufficient to build a duplex.
You mean between the hangar, which was $372,600, and the house, which is $800,000, you can't get a duplex out of that?
It's not just for the construction of the housing per se. It's also for the maintenance of the road and preparing the floor and all those kinds of things, access, sewer, water, and all those facilities. So it is not just for the construction of the house.
We have a new program, Senator Sackett. The interest on this fund, $80,000 a year, could be used to build annually a building up there. Just let it go each year. I mean, we could use ice blocks and skin tents in the summer, Commissioner. Every year we just say the principle.
Commissioner, you have to give a better explanation than that.
Well, we do have correspondence. We will supply to the committee that
That's
we have had with DOT.
That's $1,172,000.
Yes.
$600.
Yes.
And you couldn't get a duplex out of that?
No.
Oh, you did?
No. We've got a hangar. The hangar come in at $700,000.
In-house.
Right. The balance of the money, DOT right now, is out for bid for the house to go along with the hangar because it was a...
And that's on the highway.
Yes, right.
Okay.
We'll send you correspondence on that.
What is the balance, Mr. Chairman?
The balance, on according to this, is
$18,000.
$18,000. I'm not getting much of a house.
Oh, No, I don't want to. This is the unencumbered funds right now, as of this time.
Okay.
Senator Sackett, can I ask one more question? This does go to something. I think the building sections, DOT has had a lot of problems. I suppose you can't go to contract yourself. You can't go build that.
Not according to statute.
We found a lot of overhead against some of these projects. Is this one of them? Or is all the money going out there into the project?
No, there was a lot of... I'll supply the correspondence I've had with DOT over this project, sir, and it's self-explanatory.
Okay,
there have been some questionable overhead charges.
I had one experience, and I'd like to relate it because it is... We were going to build a greenhouse for some low facility for $250,000. I put $400,000 in the budget. DOT came out with $1.2 million. We went all the way back after about 3 years and raised so much hell that we built it for under $400,000 again. And this may be one of those... type projects. Too much. Other things are attached to it.
I'll supply the committee with the...
Thank you very much.
Okay, page 3 of 3. Senator Bates had marked two of these. I guess she's worked with you on this. The $250,000, the first two.
Yes, these are the video arraignment appropriations made last year. What we have been waiting for is a ruling or a study by the Judicial Council in reference to the project we put in Fairbanks. Now, the Judicial Council's report indicated, yes, this is a viable use and it will be an ongoing savings of money by installing video equipment for certain of the judicial proceedings. The planning stages are ongoing at this time for the Anchorage project. The first project was put in from orders from my office and from some funds that were in my office without consultation with the rest of the criminal justice system. I figured it was a good way to save money, and it has proved to be that. This time around, we're including the total criminal justice system because the public defender had some problems with it, and defense attorneys had some problems with it. So everybody is being included in the planning stage. It's ongoing, Mr. Chairman, to make a long story short. These are going to be beneficial to the state in the long run, and the use of video, I'm sure, in the judiciary is going to be a cost savings in the future also.
Now, where's the Supreme Court ruling?
The Supreme Court has amended their rules to allow this these projects to go forward.
Oh, so there's the status here is incorrect. It says on hold pending Supreme Court ruling.
Yes. Commissioner, they are in the final planning stages now in Anchorage for insulation. You have put together a committee to study that. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes. So it is a go, Mr. Chairman. It is a go.
Okay. Any further questions on that page? Okay, next page. Domestic violence, sexual assault. Any questions? No money's hanging out there. Everything's completed. Okay, Department of Public Safety, Academy. Just one question on page 101, administrative services, I guess, on the next page. Information systems redesign conversion. What's the status of that?
Director McBrennan.
That is the remaining balance in a capital budget that was appropriated a few years ago for the conversion of the AEGIS into the public safety information system.
Do you still have that balance there?
Yeah, we have committed $50,000 for the development of uniform crime report, and the projects are ongoing.
Okay, Department of Public Safety, Civil Air Patrol. Any questions here? That completes it, Commissioner. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Let's take a 5-minute break before we get to the top. Ready to go? Prior to... Prior to get started on DocPup, Senator Ferguson wanted the floor for a second.
Mr. Chairman, what I'd like to do is propose a $100 million capital budget for sewer and water for throughout the state of Alaska. What we have is we have many communities that have stagnant or brackish water. Many communities that don't even have watering points. And
hey, keep it down back there. Good.
And these basic capital projects are for sewer and water, village safe water, and special appropriation Department of Environmental Conservation for feasibility studies for safe watering points. Diphtheria shots are being given to all adults in Anchorage at this time, and to advertise the need for these shots, the mushers in the Iditarod dog race are carrying serum bottles to Nome. And I think before we end up with a great disaster in the state, I think we have a chance to provide these capital projects throughout the state of Alaska. This includes a Clutin Water for $15 million, which totals $31 million for the project in Anchorage for a Clutin, which the department and the city of Anchorage has stated they do need $31 million. The governor has $16 million in his budget. We're providing $15 million in this capital budget. So I would request that we consider passing this appropriation bill, along with the governor's capital bill, over to the House. And I don't intend for the House to take action on this right away. It would be until after the March forecast to see whether the state has appropriate funds to do this. But I think we need to send a message to the entire state that we are vitally concerned about sewer and water and the need for diphtheria shots to the Anchorage residents is one that I don't like seeing. But I'm wondering why the shots are being given in Anchorage only and not in the communities that are affecting our people. So with this, I would like to suggest that we do pass this out, and I bring this up for discussion.
Okay, we'll take up the capital budget, I think, tomorrow. And it's my understanding you're going to make this as an amendment?
Right.
Okay, it's on the table.
Senator Sackett?
Senator, go ahead.
That is a very important question that the senator just asked, and I'm wondering, finance often has had to be the court of last resort. I'm wondering if we don't want a conversation or something formal with the Commissioner of Health and his medical people on this whole problem. Just water the sewer statement, but also maybe the diphtheria problem in Anchorage. As long as we're sitting, and if some other committee isn't taking it up and passing us the information, it seems probably it's appropriate right now that we bring them in and ask them what the devil is going on out there, if he has a report to make.
I'll talk to Senator.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Without objection, then we'll keep that on the table until tomorrow. And we'll start with Doc Bob. You ready?
Well, I think so, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, why don't you give us an overview of where you are, what's happened to date, and how much money you found? Let's start with the positive.
Mr. Chairman, when you say where we've been, do you want to talk about the capital project cleanup and prior projects, and then lead into the 87 budget?
Right. I don't think we'll have time to go into the 87. Let's just go.
Fine. All right.
Where are we now?
Department of Transportation. It's a small book type.
Hold
on. Did you have DOT?
I'm waiting for mine.
DOT. I got the wrong book.
Here, Jay.
Thank you very much, Senator Sackett. Thank you. I don't seem to have it.
Sorry, I can't get a microphone.
Okay, proceed.
All right, Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Dick Knapp, Commissioner, Department of Transportation. And with me at the table is my Director of Financial Management and Admin, Dan Malik. And in response to your request, I'll talk to the subject of the capital project cleanup that the governor initiated when he came on board 3 years ago, and then lead into what we're trying to do to make sure that doesn't happen again. As you know, there were allegations that there was millions and millions of dollars sitting back there that DOT had and was sitting on and never started, and the state was suffering huge financial losses because of it. We went back, and truly, there were a lot of projects that had been authorized in the past. There were a lot of projects. Some had been started. Some had not been completed. And it became apparent that what we had to do was to determine just what the scope of those projects were, what kind of monies were in there, and so we could decide how we were going to tackle the problem. Well, we were able, through massive effort and the use of computers, to take a snapshot of where we were as of the 30th of June, 1985. That report hit my desk near the end of December. And basically, what it said was that in projects that were completed, we were probably over-expended by a total of almost $10 million, okay? And actually, that would never have been found except with an audit of the state accounting system, which never happens, but it happened in the capital project cleanup. So I can identify the projects. I've got printouts that I can run out either by region, election district, you name it. I can run it any way you want. Then we took a look at all other projects to see where they stood in terms of their balances with respect to phazing. And we found another group of projects totaling upwards of, $29 to $30 million that showed in one way or another a negative balance either in expenditure of a given phase. These are not complete projects yet.
but projects that that were either over expended or over obligated and not complete. So we're looking at a potential $40 million problem. And this is approximately what they expected to find. Now, what we are trying to do about it, is the following. We've got two options that we're considering in-house right now, with one step that is common to both options, and that is I've got to go through all the projects that we have started, and I've got to find out how much is it going to cost to complete this project? How much will it cost to complete this project? The ones that are already overexpended, that's done. But the ones that are still in process and overexpended in certain phases, if I go through and I can get the cost of completion on those plus all the other projects that are started, I'm hopeful that I get some kind of wash, and the bad news is a lot less than the $30 million. Because I'm hoping that the overall cost to complete of some of those projects will be less. Some of the projects that are in balance right now will come in less. So I'm hoping optimistically for some sort of wash on that. Well, the next question is, how do we handle it then? What are we going to do? One of the reasons we ended up with the allegations that we did and with the number of projects back there in backlog was touched on last year when I spoke to this committee on the capital project. And it's our method of budgeting on the capital side. It's a method which says you will budget for your projects and you will budget for over-programming, which gives a fictitious number in the amount of dollars you've really appropriated. What you've really done is authorize the expenditure of those funds and appropriated something less than that based on the federal funds that we'll be getting. The reason for the over-programming is good and valid. The reason is that you have to have projects on the shelf so that if you get additional obligational authority from the feds, as often happens, you want to be able to go and you want to have the authorization to spend that. Or if a project that was supposed to go that year doesn't go, you don't want to lose the obligational authority that you'd get from the feds, so you want to have other projects that are authorized. So all that is good, valid, and logical. The illogical part is when you do not roll the projects forward that you didn't start in a given year, didn't identify them, and crank them into the six-year program, and next year you do the same thing. And eventually you build up a whole pot of projects that have never been started and the legislature thinks they appropriated money for. So the way to solve this and what I propose to do is to start a new budgeting type system. And it'll basically be on a yearly basis. And when you see our 87 budget this year, it won't take into account the projects that are in the capital project cleanup. But it'll be the forerunner of the way I hope to operate or the way I hope the department to operate in the future. And it goes as follows. We can expect roughly $135 million as of 1 March federal obligational authority on the highways, about $23 to $25 million on AIP funding. And that's going to be subject to adjustment based on what happens to the Surface Transportation Act and what happens with respect to Graham Rudman. But what I want to do is to set up a capital budget that allows the legislature to see what they're appropriating the money for. So based on the obligational authority that we get, I would set up in my department, and when I set my budget up, set a priority list up that says, for this amount of money down to this line is funded, and that's the priorities that I hope to do it in. Below the line is over-programmed projects. Six-year program and recompute a new budget for the next year. So what you're continually doing is wiping out the over-programmed projects. You're giving the legislature a shot at the priorities that we put forward in advancing the state's transportation system, and you're determining or at least forcing on the department an accountability for not having done or having done something different from what was proposed in the last budget. For instance, If I had a project that was within or above the funding line, that was funded by the kinds of obligational authority that I would get, and I couldn't do that, then the rules would say I'd go down to the top project below the line. And I would then have to come back to the legislature and say, I didn't do that project because. And there's a complete accountability, not only from the standpoint of project performance, but from the standpoint of the budget itself. And you also
incidentally, introduce a little bit of a little bit more integrity and credibility into the six-year program that I know has been a concern of just about everyone who knows anything about the transportation. Now, the question is, and what we're kicking around, do we want to do this whole capital project cleanup this year and go for one big massive reappropriation, or do we want to isolate those projects? And I have a status on each project that ever existed in DOC, and I can sort them by election districts. I'll send them out to my regions, send them out to the legislators, together with my six-year program, and say, where should these projects be in the six-year program? Then you're taking a fresh look. We're taking a fresh look at projects, and next year when I come in, I incorporate that input into the kind of budgeting system that I'm describing to you just now. Next question. How do we keep track of our projects now to find out where we stand in phasing? You have in front of you a booklet called Currently Authorized Capital Projects, and it's for the University of Alaska and DOT. And I guess DOT starts with our letter, Dan's letter, and about mid-book there, and I'm sorry it doesn't have plate page numbers that I can find, but if you take a look, suffice to say there's about 2,000 projects there. And I'm not about to come in with the status on 2,000 projects, but what I have is summary data in there. And what it will show you, if you say, you go to the first page there, and just for the sake of argument, pick up a project number, let's say the bottom of the page, which says Seward Highway, mileage 110-253033, and you had in there $10 million. We had no encumbrances. We expended to date $10.9 million, and according to the book, we're $911,000 in the hole. Now,
so off and on your number zero. Okay, I think that was a $10,000 mark.
Well, I'm sorry.
Right above there is a $10 million.
Okay, I'm sorry. You're right. $10,000. But if you took. I'm so, Mr. Chairman, I get so used to the, I don't even talk in $10,000 anymore since I got into DOT.
I had a lot of trouble when we went to from millions to billions.
Well,
really problems there.
Well, anyway, take the one above it, and I apologize, and I'll read it correctly. There you ended up with. You have $10.2 million there. You have no encumbrances on the book. They've all been liquidated through $8.9 million worth of expenditures, and so you've got $1.2 million on balance. So that gives you summary data. But should you want to get more detail on the project, we've hooked up a management information system which will allow you to call up any one of these projects by number, get the phase, get a description of the project, and incidentally, we have been working with your staffers to get to so that they can tap into the system at any time that you require and get the data on that project. So, if do we have a terminal in here? Where is it? The back of the room? If you would like, Mr. Chairman, I can give you a demonstration of
if you can. What's the wish of the committee?
I wouldn't mind having it if we had a minute.
Go ahead.
All right. So I'll ask Dan Malik to hit the terminal back there.
Okay.
And if you want to pick a project out of the book here, give me the number, and let's see if we can pull out of the computer for you.
Okay.
There were any? Excuse me. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
For this is one for Rick Halford.
Yeah, there aren't any.
Number 53151, Diamond Boulevard, Phase One. I know, if you're interested.
53151?
Uh-huh. That's on page 5.
And then I want you to read out. I want a description of the project. I want what the project sets out to do. I want to start right from the beginning.
Is it
fifth right
page or is it?
No. Yeah, what says page 5?
Okay.
Well, they all say page 5, though. The 3, 4. I'm sorry, it's on that. You know, you just turn the thing over.
I got it.
Okay.
How do I ID it?
there, 53151. It's the second page. It reads page
four.
This
is all right.
It says page five at the bottom. Page four.
Page five and
53151. Diamond Boulevard, phase one, 27 million. No encumbrances. They spent 22 million.
You can take a look at it, but I can have him call it out, Senator, if you want to, Mr. Chairman. But what else you want to see it on the screen? And like I said, you have an answer.
Okay. Don't they have a printer?
Print it out.
Print it out there.
Dan, can you print that out there, too?
Hard copy?
Yes.
I don't believe so.
Where does it print? We don't have a printer here.
It could be printed out, though, right?
It could be.
It's a little bit of a system. We looked at two different things. We have to look at two different things. One is the state's account.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thanks.
The other one is in the sometime late in October. Okay. Our estimated cost of completion is, in this particular case, $32 million for our 27 for the construction. Dates, finish dates, percent completes.
There's a printout in the back of the book, which
should go back. I'm going to let you actually do the figure.
How to get into it?
Okay, let's go back.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I guess everyone has seen the information system. And there's one thing that you probably noticed right off is that there's no breakout there of funds between whether it's federal or federal authorization or general funds. And we know that that's very important because I also, along with you, would like to know how much money we have lying out there so I can control it and we can control it and do what needs to be done. We are working on an adjustment now. At the expenditure side, that will show us that, and we hope to have that, Dan, a month or so?
Mm-hmm.
Within a month, we can have that cranked in. And then we think we've got a pretty good information system, and what I got to warn you, and this is my responsibility, of course, I've got to make sure that the information that's put in is timely and good information, because, you know, it goes back to the old story, garbage in, garbage out. But I think that we're getting the discipline so that we can do this. And with response to your question on what are we going to do about the $40 million, like I said, we're already underway getting estimates to complete. And when I get that, I'll know how bad the story is. But I think that ultimately what we're going to have to do is look for funds that look for general fund match that's sitting there on projects that were never started, and ultimately balance that off against any deficit that we have. We're going to have to consider all projects that were never started in the context of a six-year program before we get into next year's capital budget. I don't mean the one that we're considering now, but next year's capital budget. And then we're going to have to, in my opinion, institute the capital budgeting procedure I just described to you this morning. That completes my statements, Mr. Chairman. On
questions from the committee? Any questions?
There's one thing I like about it is we sort of can find out where we are now as a legislator. In a 120-day session, that becomes ever more necessary. Well,
what are the meaning of the numbers? The numbers don't run in any kind of order that I can figure out, page to page, these code numbers. You know, there are a lot of numbers out of sequence, and the sequence kind of moves both directions. What is the reason for that?
Dan?
Okay. What you have here is a printout from the state's accounting system Access. Okay. There is, quote, a structure in Access called the project structure, which our department uses to provide an organization for all of its capital projects. Okay. The reason you find the numbers out of sequence, and you're probably looking at some of the indentations,
In other words, if you pick one of these pages here, you'll see most of the numbers are in the 5300 series, and then every once in a while it jumps up to a 7900 series, and you notice that it's further to the margin on the left. What you're basically seeing is the indented tree structure that we use for the department to organize our projects. And if you go to the very first page of this particular output, you'll see what is the top of the structure. It's the 79830. It's called CIP Active Project Summary. In other words, when we've organized our project world out there, everything that you've authorized to us, we've decided that one of the very important branches that we would like to begin to sort this on is every active project that we have. Now, clearly, there are other branches here that represent non-active CIPs and some other things that you're not going to be seeing in this report. So by the fact that we're starting out at the top of the first branch that says CIP Active Structure 79830, we're just giving you a complete listing of everything that's beneath that node on the branch. In other words, every active project the department has. Then as you come down that first page, you see that the next division in the branch is highway projects. And if we flip back through a couple more pages, you'll see that we've got different branches splitting off by mode. In other words, as we've organized our capital projects, we figured the first most important break is active, inactive, and the next most important breakout is by mode, and then finally you come down into what we call our various regions. And that's why in the first page it goes from CIP active to highways to headquarters highways projects, and as you can see, there are not very many of them. And then the next breakout is the central region highway projects, and then there's a long list that goes on for three or four pages. And we've limited the printout here to give you only project titles. Now, we have project phases, which is another branching underneath the project, but I've suppressed that picture and summarized all the costs up to the project level. So this is literally a printout of Access's project structure as designed and implemented by the DOT with Access numbers totaled at the project level.
Okay, with regard to the numerical sequence of the numbers, is there any indication by that sequence of the date when the legislation or the project was initially started, initially funded, or anything else?
In other words, is there any logic in the number itself?
Right.
No.
So the one thing, as I said to you earlier, Commissioner, one of the things that we tend to look at is the older appropriations with the larger balances. And at least from the summary, there's no way we can identify those things, or is there?
Go ahead and answer that. Yes. Okay. There is a structure in Access called the appropriation structure, and I could have just as easily, and I do have printouts on my desk, that sort our capital projects by the appropriation year. Now, the thing that gets interesting is we've got a couple of active projects that are looking to a number of different appropriations for their funding. Okay. So there's not a nice, clean sorting. Okay. And rather than bring that confusion, this was really the most simple list I could provide for a summary. And as you question me further, I can get more and more complex, and at some point...
Well, the thing that I think is beneficial to us, and I think that the system that you've got with the instructions for Access is excellent. It would be beneficial probably for the committee's review to have an Access that gave us, you know, ability to break it down in terms of year.
It's in there.
It shows. It's in the computer.
Yeah, right. And I can give you a hard copy printout sorted by appropriation.
Yeah. Because basically what I do is keep this for my index in my office. I want to go look anything up.
Sure.
Right.
But
you say you can break it down to election districts rather than go through this whole list of projects. You can break down the ones that are in our districts. Is that correct?
I don't think so.
The answer is no.
I don't think so.
Okay. We have the capability... We have the capability in Access to tag each one of these projects with an election district characteristic so we could sort on it. Now, as you can see, with all these numbers of projects here, the process of loading into the new accounting system would have involved us going through and providing those kinds of designations. That's a transaction that some human being has to do on the terminal. We've not done that yet. The capability is there, but we haven't implemented it in our conversion into Access at this time.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman. I think where the senator is coming from is the fact that I made the statement that I could give you the capital projects sorted by election districts, and we do have that. And I think it'd be a simple transition to work that into this. But
are they numbered also, which corresponds to these numbers?
No, sir.
They're not?
No.
How do we bring it all together then, just by going through the list?
Okay. That's why we have... CPC and the numbers, because our capital project data file does have that tag in there by election district, so I can present you a listing of projects by election district, not out of our state's accounting system, but by, out of the department systems. Okay? And then we start talking about the ties between the numbers and the two systems, and that's
If you have a problem of the magnitude you're talking about in terms of a possible deficit, and you're looking as an answer to take existing projects that have a surplus and transfer over there or that have not started,
well,
you're going to run into problems, I think.
Well, I think, Mr. Chairman, I probably will.
Yeah.
But I don't see an alternative. And let me picture it for you this way. We probably have about five, according to my capital project figures, we probably got about $500 million worth of authorization. That includes some match, but mostly federal authorization. Now, and let's for the sake of argument say that's mostly highways, and I think it is. You know, we're facing a $135 million a year window to pump that through. So if we want to continue with those and not reassess them in light of today's priorities and needs, then what we're faced with is pushing those things through the $135 million annual window, and that says no new capital projects in favor of cleaning up the stuff that's back in the bucket. That's my concern. And that's why I argue for a fresh look at this whole thing to find out how important things are in today's today's needs and requirements.
About a month, you'll have that.
I'm hopeful that we'll have the cost to complete in about a month. I'm hopeful that what we can do is, like as I said, we have two options. We can either make a great big push this session, and you got about 60 days left, and try to cram this thing through and essentially end up rewriting this year's capital budget, which quite frankly, you know, from the standpoint of cleaning it up nice and neat and starting off fresh on 1 July, has some merit. From the standpoint of the practicalities of the situation, I don't think that's the way to go. And we're arguing it out in our own shop right now, where what I just described to you is option one, and option two argues for going ahead, getting the cost to complete, finding out how big a problem we have, taking all the projects that we have not started, sending it out to my regions, getting an estimate from them, sending the projects out to the election districts, getting input from the legislators, see how that matches up against the six-year program, and put together a new capital budget next year, which includes the budgets, the projects that were in the pot, as well as any new projects that may be coming up. And I think that would be a much more orderly and considered process. And in the meantime, it just seems like the way to go to me.
Senator?
Well, yeah, when you come up with this shortfall in projects underway, can you transfer the money from the other projects without legislation, or how does that work?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, it depends. It depends on how the monies were appropriated. If it were a line item appropriation in a project that's sitting there with extra funds, no way I get that without a reappropriation. If, on the other hand, there's money sitting in a line item appropriation of a system of allocations, and I've got one project in the allocation that's running short as opposed to one that's over, then I can do that, but it requires a formal reprogramming process that has got to go through my office and into OMB, and we're accountable. In either case, we're accountable for any transfers.
Commissioner, one thing you said that I can more agree with, I agree with entirely, and that is in our own districts, when money sits in a particular allocation for a while, and for instance at the Kenai area or Matsu area, you all of a sudden have a traffic pattern change because 1,000 new people moved into a given area. You do need to sometimes have a second look if the funding's still sitting there, and at what we really need now rather than what was really important 5 years or 4 years ago or 3 years ago, and we hadn't quite done the job. I agree with that. We have a local nightmare.
Sir?
We have a local nightmare unless we do that.
Yeah.
Any further questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead. Senator.
As an example, I don't know what page it is, but it's Southeast Planning. There was $11 million And right below that, Safi State Plan Projects, $11 million. And there's about $5 million that has not been expended on that planning. And over on the next page, we have just about $11 million
Senator
for headquarters
Austin,
planning.
What page are you on?
Their pages are off.
Well, it's page 36. I finally found a number down at the bottom.
Okay, they're in the upper right-hand corner.
Yeah. Lower no, right-hand corner, Senator.
All right, I have mine in the upper right-hand.
No, it's a different number.
Okay.
Would you address those two items, which is planning, that's about $10 million sitting there unexpended money?
Yeah. I suspect, Senator, that's mostly federal money, but go ahead.
Okay. I'm on page 36 here. Which one, Senator? Southeast plan.
The large items near the bottom of the page.
Yeah, he's looking at okay.
Southeast planning. Okay.
Okay, in terms of, it starts Southeast Planning, that's the branch on the tree. The next branch below that is the Southeast State Planning Projects, and then beneath that are a series of projects that point up. In other words, because of the structure here, the numbers are totaling up from the bottom. In other words, things beneath the indentations add up to the number on top. So in terms of Southeast State Plan, if you look over here to balance that $2.6 million, and you want to know where that $2.6 million balance is coming from, it's coming from all of the balances in the projects that are listed below it.
They're not talking about planning per se.
Not in terms of an operating budget sense.
Okay.
No,
right.
Sir.
Okay.
No, these are a listing of the capital projects that we called out as being planning related, and as you can see from the titles.
Expand that again. Were you on page 35 or 36?
Well, depends on where you're looking, Mr. Chairman. If you look up in the upper right-hand corner, it's 35. If you look down the lower right-hand corner, it's just 36.
Okay. Upper right-hand corner, 35.
Yes, sir.
Explain that $11 million now. Right. It's made up of what?
Okay, the $11 million figure is the total authorizations we have on the books for projects that we've said were Southeast planning type of projects.
Right.
Total authorizations. Okay. Beneath that, we have a listing of the projects that make up.
That's 6,000 numbers?
Those are the 6,700 series.
Okay. So all of those make up the 700 series.
Right, right. And you can see there's, you go about three-quarters of the way down, page 36, or the next page, and then we jump up to Southeast Harbor Planning Project. See, that's another branch
on
the tree.
Page 34. You have a 700 series there called North Harbor Plan Project.
Right.
Now that 975 is made up of all of those. Down below it?
Right.
Okay, gotcha. Do you have any further questions?
No, thanks.
Do you have any questions? Any further questions for the commission? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Very good.
Meeting adjourned.